Jesus ultimately comes to reveal the Father. And this is not an easy mission for him because the Father is invisible. So how do you communicate an invisible being, okay, and the source of all life to people who come to know and understand through the senses, right? Through what we see, hear, touch, imagine then, and in our mind, putting things together. So God is pure spirit. And so that's why in the Gospels, you have, you know, all of these different analogies, metaphors, ways of understanding, grasping who God is and how God relates to us. And one of the powerful parables that we have in today's gospel is of the vine and the branches. And so Jesus is trying to articulate, communicate, what is our relationship with God? What is our relationship with Him, with Jesus Christ? How does He play into this? And so He talks about this essential connection between the branches and the vine. And you don't have to be a farmer to know that without the vine, the branches are going to die, right? Because that's where the life of the branch comes from, is from the vine. And so Jesus is saying, that's how connected that you have to be with me, as connected as a branch is to a vine. And that would be just a good self-examination for us, I think, of considering, do I see myself and understand myself as connected to Christ and depending upon Christ as much as a branch depends upon a vine? So a good reflective question, just, you know, as Jesus introduces this parable. All right, when it comes to a branch connected to a vine and our relationship with Jesus, how we are connected with Christ, how do we stay connected with Christ? So he says that this is how close we are to be, but how does this happen? Well, first of all, it happens on one level through the sacramental life. We hear in the rite of baptism that we are born anew. We are born again. That's what happens. So eternal life is born within us, which means basically that now we have the capacity, we can relate to God, which is an incredible truth, that our nature has been raised so that now we can have relationship with the eternal God. Something to be grasped at, right? It's amazing. I was thinking about the relationship that we have, with animals. I was thinking about my relationship with my dog Daisy, and how, you know, how some people like treat their animals like human beings. Well, no matter, you know, how many, you know, stockings and sweaters that you put on your dog, you cannot raise them to the level of a human being, right? And sometimes Daisy is such my dog. She is so good. She's, you know, and so tender, and, you know, she's always wanted to be petted, and, you know, sometimes I'm like, you know, she loves me so much, I let her lick my face, and it's like, she's like another human being to me, right up until the time that she leaves and starts licking herself, then I realize she's an animal, right? No matter how hard she works at it, or I work at it, I can't raise her to the level of a human being. She can't relate to me as a human being. She relates to me as a dog. Well, in our relationship with God, the separation is much greater than the relationship between us and an animal. But in Christ, through baptism, our nature is raised up so that now we can truly relate to God with a divine spirit. So that's the foundational truth. Well, is that enough then? We're able to, through baptism, we have divine life within us. Our soul is changed and transformed in such a way that through faith, hope, and love, I have relationship and an interpersonal relationship with God. I'm with God at His level because He's raised me up. Is that all that there is to it? Well, that's essential, right? Because we can't raise ourselves up. God raises us up. But that's still not enough to remain in me, as Jesus says. Jesus says, remain in me as I remain in you. So He remains in us. But how do we remain in Him? First, through baptism, our dignity, our nature has been raised. But the next step is so important. And because Jesus is alluding to the fact that we can be baptized and we can have our dignity and nature raised to the divine level and have the capacity to have a relationship with God, but not remain in him. Well, how does that come about? Well, let's take a look at who God is. He is love. And so remaining in God is ultimately about remaining in a loving relationship with God. That's how we remain in God and remain in Christ, through love. And that means what? It comes down to our deeds, how we act, what we do, how we relate to God, what we offer. You know, genetic descent is not enough. That's what the Israelites, the way that they understood their relationship with God, is through it was a line of descent. And so I'm of the line of Jacob, the line of David, and that means I have a certain status. But Jesus comes and he breaks that all up. You know, think about even with Mary, when she came and visited Jesus when he was on his tour, that they said, your mother's here. And Jesus says, my mother and my brother are the ones who do the will of God, right? So they were like, this is your biological, your mother. This is your line of descent. And he's saying, I'm looking at a whole nother order here, the order of love. This line of descent is not enough. So we can't just say, well, I'm a Catholic, I'm a Christian. Yeah, that's important, that's foundational. But to continue to remain in Jesus, that second reading says what? We have to believe in Jesus Christ and we have to love one another. And you know this, that the love of God, the commandment to love God and to love our neighbor are so closely connected, so united, that we cannot hate our neighbor and at the same time love God. In fact, the love of God and the neighbor are so joined in Christ that to hate our neighbor is to hate God. And it makes sense if you think about it. If we're made in the image of God, that means that God's life dwells within us. And so if we hate another person in whom God is present and in whose image they are, we're in fact hating God. So what we're doing here today is just focusing on basically two points of how to remain in God. The first is through the sacramental life, which raises our dignity and our capacity now that we have the potential to have interpersonal relationship with God. But that's not enough. The next step is that we have to, the way that we live is how we continue to remain in Christ. You know, think about, you know, on another level, just in our families. You have, if you have children, you know, on paper, they're your children. They're the fruit of your womb. So they have your blood, they have your genetics. But that's not enough to have a strong family. It takes choices and work and decisions and living together to remain a family. Yeah? So the same thing in our relationship with God is that, yes, we have God's life within us through baptism now, but we have to live out that life in order to remain as part of God's family. And it is of the most importance, greatest importance, that we treat our neighbor and love our neighbor in such a way that we recognize their dignity. It goes beyond skin color. We recognize their dignity as made in the image of God, because our love of God depends upon it. And if we don't, we begin to separate ourselves from Christ. And what does Christ say about those who have separated themselves from the vine? They'll be gathered up and thrown into the fire.